So, our reading this morning, we've got three readings. The first one, which I'll do, is from John 3, and it's verses 1 to 15. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him."
Galatians 3:26-27. "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Ephesians 2:19. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household."
That passage has the phrase, "being born again." And that's a very strange phrase. It's all about identity, about who we are. And who we are impacts what we do. There was a bit of banter on the youth chat this week. It's the African Confederation Cup, the AFCON Cup. All the African nations play each other. We've got quite a few African nations represented here. I was born in Africa as well, so I had an interest too. And there was a bit of banter going on about the games, the finals, Nigeria versus Ivory Coast. And we've got some Nigerian interest, I know, in our church. And that is because we identify with those countries through birth, perhaps through parents, through heritage, and so we want to support them. Perhaps with the Six Nations as well. Maybe you've identified with one of the teams and cheering them on. Sometimes, though, it can go badly wrong. My son has a bit of a feeling for Bristol City. His granddad, my dad, was born in Bristol, and so he would take us to Bristol City games. I'm a Bristol City fan. And would take Theo as well, our son Theo. And recently, Bristol City were playing in an FA Cup tie against West Ham, and Theo's living near their stadium, very nice stadium if you know it. And it was West Ham versus Bristol City. And the problem was the people he went with were West Ham fans, and they got him a ticket in the West Ham end. If you've ever been to a football game, it's quite hard supporting another team in the opposition's end. So he had his Bristol City shirt on, but he was definitely not going to take his jacket off. And when West Ham did well, they all stood up and he had to stand up with them. And when Bristol City did well, they all booed and he had to boo with them. And actually Bristol City won the game, but he couldn't cheer and he couldn't make any fuss. He had to look really glum. So it all got a bit tricky. But more seriously, we're sharing about who we are, SJ, Matt, Sam, all identifying with Jesus. And it's a new identity in him, that decision to follow him, that we want to explore this morning. And Jesus is in a conversation with a man called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is what's called a Pharisee. And a Pharisee was a deeply religious academic at the time of Jesus. They would have taken faith very, very seriously, would have read through the scriptures, the Jewish half of the Bible that we have now all written before Jesus was born. And they were awaiting a sort of new guru, teacher, as we would understand it. Their term was Messiah, greater than the guru, really, a king, a leader who would usher in a new kingdom that would restore harmony to the world, would bring good and destroy evil. The kingdom would be called the kingdom of God because all the qualities of God, his justice, his love, his kindness, truth, his mercy, his peace, would be in evidence in that kingdom. And we can tell from Nicodemus's opening comment in the conversation, we all know that God has sent you to teach us, Jesus. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. That Nicodemus suspects that Jesus might be the new king, the Messiah. And he's not really asking him directly. You know those people who never ask you directly for a cup of tea? They say, oh, are you making a cup of tea? And what they mean is, could you make me a cup of tea? He's kind of asking like that. He's kind of asking, are you Messiah? And Jesus gives him a bold statement. He says, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying, unless you are born again, have a total transformation, a renewed identity, you'll never experience that good, just kingdom of God. Now, born again has a bit of a bad reputation as a phrase. It's kind of associated with perhaps supercilious Christians, hypocritical Christians, maybe lightweight Christians, kind of music and bands and all that type of thing. But the phrase originally comes from Jesus. And Jesus wasn't lightweight. Even people who don't regard him as the Son of God would perhaps regard him as a great man. So we want to take note of what he says. It's a fairly simple phrase for those willing to consider it. It's basically saying, you've got to become a new person to see the kingdom of God, to experience all the good things of God. Now, I know some people here have become citizens of the UK, and you've had to do a little test, and you've got a new passport, you've had to fill in all the paperwork, and we're delighted to have you here as UK citizens. We couldn't be prouder or luckier, we think. But the kingdom of God is so unbelievably radical. You don't just need a new passport, you need a new body. If you're training for the marathon, and you started from scratch, you could train your body up to run a marathon. But Jesus is saying you could never, ever train yourself up to be in my kingdom. It's too radical. Look at what I did. I held nothing back, says Jesus. I fed the hungry. I healed the sick. When somebody asked him, are you the Messiah? He said this, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. He's saying you need a new body to do that, to be in that kingdom. To be in my kingdom, you have to love God with all your heart and soul, and you have to love your neighbors yourself. Have you ever tried to love your neighbor as yourself for a day, treating them as you would treat yourself? Try it for a morning if you've never done that. A few of you are smiling because you have tried it. It's impossible. And Jesus is saying you have to be like that all the time. That's why you need a new body. That's why you need a new life. You need to be born again. And that's what baptism symbolizes. Jesus died into death, lowered in the cross, and then rose again. Baptism symbolizes that dying, that rising again. Jesus talks about water and the Spirit. Of course, water's involved in birth, isn't it? I don't want to get into all the details. Water's breaking, all that type of thing. So symbolism there as well in the baptismal pool. Jesus is giving you his life. He died so that you might have his life. And in being born again, the Spirit dwells within you. God himself dwells within you. I don't want to get into all the biological facts, but a baby needs something from the mother and something from the father. Our humanity, I suppose, is effectively what we'd have spiritually from the mother's side. But of course, the Spirit is what comes from God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. It marks you as a child of God. You take on a completely new identity. So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith, as Joe read to us. For all of you who are baptized in Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. That's what we were saying earlier about you taking a new identity with Jesus and also with his family. Maybe you'd like to be born again, to enter the radically new kingdom of God. Sally Ann and I would be really happy to chat with you about that. Or maybe you've been born again, but you've not been baptized and thinking, oh, I'd like to be baptized. That's a wonderful thing. We would love to chat to you about that as well. Now, you might be thinking, well, hang on a moment. Yeah, but if I'm in the family of God, does that mean I can never be in any other group as well? Well, it's a bit like you can be in a family and totally committed to your family, but you can still go to the Brownies and the Scouts. You can be a follower of God and involved in all sorts of different things, as long as those groups don't conflict with your primary identity, which is a child of God. So, for example, you probably couldn't really equate being in the mafia and being a child of God. You know, the sort of the killing and the thieving sort of gets in the way of following Jesus. But you can be in any other group as long as it's not conflicting with being in the family of God, being Jesus' follower. And then, third thing, so is what's the impact? Having an identity is about demonstrating that through your life. And many followers of Jesus think, okay, to follow Jesus more, to know him more, I've got to pray more and read the Bible more. Well, that's kind of true. Those are good things to do. But in fact, that's often misleading. In fact, to know Jesus more, you've got to follow him more. You've got to do what he did more. Actually, if you look at all that Jesus says, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I call you my friends if you follow my commands. He's actually saying you'll really get to know me when you do as I do. It's a bit like if I'm a Reading fan, I can have the membership card, which allows me to get tickets for the game. That can be the level of my membership. I can read about them, I can watch them on the TV, but I'm only really going to know what it is to be a Reading fan when I go to the games, when I meet with the other fans, when I find what it's like to be with them on the down as well as on the up. Likewise, it is with Jesus. You've got to live the life, and I'm giving you three invitations this morning. If you want to live out your identity, if you've been born again, to help that grow, to grow closer to Jesus. So three invitations. The first is to love the life. There's a film called Annie where Annie's a little orphan girl and she's adopted by a really rich tycoon and transforms her life. But anyone who knows anything about the link between wealth and happiness knows that there isn't one. Apart from your basic needs being met, there isn't one. What really transforms Annie's life is that she's loved, actually, by the tycoon, not his money. And when we're born again, we're loved by God. He is the absolute best parent. We'll have had all sorts of different experiences of parenting. God is the most loving, the most caring parent. How great is the love that has been lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And the word the Bible used for that happiness is called joy, a deep down joy. So invitation one is to love the life. To delight in that life, to know that's actually above all the things. If you're born again, to know of all the things, that's the most important, that's the most special. So the invitation one, the challenge one, Rita, she's not here this morning, she says, give me a challenge every week, Nathan. Invitation one, challenge one, whatever you want to call it, is delight in that life. That might be singing to yourself. It might be undoing your jacket in the West Hand End and showing your Bristol City t-shirt. It might be showing that you're a follower of Jesus. Be loud and be proud, singing it out. It might be at school actually letting them know in some appropriate way that you're a Christian. I don't mean you go in actually with a t-shirt, I am a Christian. But you know, there'll be moments when it's just good and right to say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Maybe to make an opinion in the class debate or in the university debate that actually shows that you're a follower of Jesus. Maybe at work as well. There's times, we don't have to be banging on that we're a Christian all the time, but you know and I know there'll be times when it's good to share. So let's be loud and proud that we're followers of Jesus. The second invitation, that's love the life, is love the family. Your Christian family, did you know, is your number one family? It's wonderful that both SJ and Matt and Sam have families who love them and have encouraged them in the faith. That's fantastic. But their number one family now is you. You're the family of God. Jesus was once teaching, really busy, and someone said to him, do you know your mum and your brothers are outside? They want you to go home with them, effectively. And he said, my mother and my brothers are whoever does the will of him who sent me. He's saying my family, he loved his mum. There's no one who's loved his mum more than Jesus. No one who's loved his, can you imagine being Jesus's brother? That would be so cool. No one who's had a better brother. Matt and Sam are good brothers, but no one who's ever had a better brother than Jesus. But he's saying my primary family is God's family. What does that mean for you? Well, invitation one is love your family even more. The church, all the baptizees promise to serve him in the church. Not just any church, love this church. JJ got us to look around this morning. We're all a little bit embarrassed about doing that, aren't we? But JJ, well done for making that shout. Who do you know in this church? Your challenge is make a friend here. You might say, well, I don't have any friends. Well, there you go. Make a friend. And if you're thinking, well, I don't need to do that, you're a bit conceited, actually. If you're saying, well, I've got friends in other churches, that's conceit. You're saying you think you're too good to make best friends of the family that God's put you in. Good job Jesus wasn't like that. He could have said to you, well, Nathan, you're not that much, actually. I've got better friends over there. But he didn't. He chose Matt, Sam, SJ, you, me, to be really good friends. And he's wanting you to make deep friends here, not elsewhere. So your invitation this morning is, make a best friend here in this church family, Shinfield Community Church. Now, if you've got really good friends here, here's your challenge. Invite someone who isn't your friend into your group. Could be a DG group, could be coffee morning, could be if you're going to the game or to the cinema or running or whatever. Invite them along. Get to know them. Introduce them to your other friends. And then the third chat, if you're doing that already, that's great. Well done. Get to know your family. Then you can get to know your family outside the church. We had that person, didn't we, Anne-Marie, talking about persecuted Christians around the world. Pray for them. But first of all, if we're really following Jesus, we'll be making best friends here in the church. If you've got kids, they can't do that without you because they can't go anywhere without you. So how about if you're parents getting to know another family with little children or older children? I do know what age children stop going out with there. It's about 15, 16, 17. Then you just become the driver who picks them up at about 10 o'clock at night, 10:30, that type of thing. But up until that age, they need you. So help them. Get to know other families here. Invite them around. Go to dim pastures. Go to the park. Something like that. That's your invitation. So love the life. Love the family. Then live the life. Jesus said, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister. Living the life won't make you born again. It doesn't say whoever does the will of my Father will become my brother and sister. It says is. But living the life shows that you are born again. So what do you need to do to live that life? Maybe it's the way he speaks the truth. You look at Jesus and he speaks the truth. You look at Jesus and he's patient with people. You want to be a bit more patient. Maybe it's you look at Jesus, he's generous with his money. Did you know Jesus had a money bag? People would give him money. You know when Zacchaeus says, here and now I'll give half my money to the poor. He most likely seriously gave it to Jesus. Jesus had a money bag and it said Jesus would give out money from time to time to the poor. So Jesus used his money for the poor. We don't often realise that. So it could be being more generous with your money. It could be with helping those in need. You look at Jesus, how he helped those in need, who particularly people that no one else had time for. It could be your Jesus liberated those suffering justice. We talked about that. That's a primary calling for Christians. It could be you get involved in some ministry, some activity, which helps people suffering injustice. It could be you've got a really bad habit. You need to change that habit and turn it into something good. So, love the life, invitation to delight in Jesus Christ. Love the family, invitation to delight in your family here in Shinfield Community Church. Not elsewhere, because that's too easy. Here, Shinfield Community Church. Invitation number three, live the life. Find something, think about something that will help Jesus' life be more evident in your life. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Let's have a moment of quiet. Those three invitations, love the life, love the family, live the life. Let's just mull those over with God and then I'll say a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you that you rebirth us. We've witnessed that in some ways this morning with the wonderful baptisms. And Jesus, help each of us as we look to love the life, love the family, and live the life for you. Will you help us in all that we do? May you make our love increase and overflow for one another here and everyone else. Amen.